paid for my sin. Oh, what a Savior is mine, giving his life a poor wanderer to win. Oh, what a Savior is mine,
lifting my burdens, relieving my care. Oh, what a Savior is mine, giving me courage to do and to dare. Oh, what a Savior is mine.
Wonderful Savior we have. And I hope that he's yours. He can be. He desires to be. But he can only be if you receive him. It'd be a terrible thing for a person to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ just once and die in their sin and go to hell. But many in our country hear it on a regular basis and yet reject that message. It's like rejecting a gift at Christmas time or your birthday. God has given a gift. And that gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But you know, that gift would be no good to you until you receive it and take it as your own. So if you're here today, you may say, well, I know that Jesus died. Well, that's just part of it. And I know that Jesus was buried, and I know that he rose again. There again, that's just part of it. It's not enough just to know. That affects this part of us. You must receive. Someone has said, physically, we come into the world head first. But you'll not enter to the next world if you're going to heaven head first. It takes more than a knowledge. It takes a faith. You must go into that world heart first. And I pray that you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That you know him. That you know he in whom the song magnified. You know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's hard for me as I stand before you here this morning to imagine that next week we will be celebrating what is called Easter. And I'm not opposed. I think Easter's a great time. But really, every time we meet on the Lord's Day, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I celebrate it every day. Amen. But this day, the first day of the week, has been set aside that we, as believers, may come together and worship him and praise him, not only for what he has done, but for who he is. And I want to talk to you about that some this morning. We will celebrate Easter next week. And I'm for Easter. I think it's a great thing. I think it's a great reminder to each of us. No different really in many respects as Christmas is a reminder that Jesus came. Easter is a reminder that he came for a purpose, to die, to be buried, and to rise again from the dead. Oftentimes when I'm speaking to people about their soul and about Jesus, I mentioned the gospel message that Jesus died and was buried and rose again. And I've had some really strange looks throughout the years. I've even had people to ask me, do you really believe that? And my response has always remained the same. With all of my heart. With all of my heart. I not only believe it, I have experienced it. I have experienced the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I hope that you have. If you have, the song that the choir opened up with this morning, Things Are Different Now, had a special meaning to you. Things are different now. Oh, when you get saved. I remember a couple of days after I got saved, I walked out and, you know, the birds had been singing all of my life, way before I even got here. But I don't know, there was just something different that morning. I heard them in a different way that morning. I did. And there's just so many things that God entombs us to when we get saved by the grace of God. A relationship with the Creator of heaven. Think about that just for a moment. God has invited mere mortal man to enter into a personal relationship with the Creator of everything. What a privilege. What a privilege it is to be called a child of God. And I thank God for His privilege in me to be a Christian. It's no good that I've done. I do not stand before you today with my sin forgiven for any good that Dale Freeman has done. I stand before you today because God is good and gracious and merciful, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, I pray the Spirit of God would speak to you, convict you of your sin, show you that your only hope for forgiveness of sin in heaven after this life is through Jesus Christ. He's the only hope. He's not a hope. He is the only hope of heaven for each one. Pastor David has read in your hearing in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. I want to set the record straight on a couple of things that I've tried to over the last few weeks when we talked about the Great Commission. I want to do the same with this matter of the gospel. Many times when the Great Commission is mentioned, we think of people going and getting saved. We think of people leaving and going and telling people about Jesus and people getting saved, and they say, well, you know, that's the Great Commission. Well, we looked into the Scripture and we examined what Jesus taught last week in Matthew chapter number 28 last Sunday night, and we've seen that it's beyond going and telling and making disciples. After that, you need to get baptized. That's part of the Great Commission. And after that, you need to be taught and trained in the ways of God, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And so that's all part of the Great Commission. So when we hear this word gospel, what does the gospel mean? What is included in the gospel of Jesus Christ? I want to talk to you about that today, tonight, next Sunday, and next Sunday night, the Lord willing. I hope you'll be here for each one. Each point is going to be taken right out of this passage of Scripture. You see, if you'll look with me in verse number 1 of chapter 15, the Bible says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. What is the gospel? What does the word gospel mean? The word gospel means good news. And it is good news. I read several years ago about a lady, and this kind of helps us understand what good news is all about. I read several years ago about a lady whose TV was messing up, or so she thought, and so she called a TV repair man. Now, that probably doesn't happen anymore. I remember when I was a child, I thought I was a TV repair man. I had some tin foil and some rabbit ears, and I could stomp my foot a couple of times, and boy, I'd clear a picture up. Any of you remember doing that? And I'll never forget, we had this old console TV in our living room, and I thought, man, I know something about a TV. And we were selling it, and there was this couple who came by, And my parents were no different. I mean, they were not saved. They were fairly honest people. And so they were going to unload a TV. If you know what unload means, you know what I'm talking about. And so they were going to unload this TV. And so I had worked on a little bit, so I knew a little bit about it. All right, so this couple comes in, and my parents are there, and they say, well, we'll take, and I forgot how much it was for the TV. And they said, well, you know, it looks nice. It was, like I said, it was one of those console. And first, you young folks, you don't know what a console TV is, okay? So I'll explain that to you later. So they said, well, how much would you take for it? And my parents, my mother and stepfather told them. And they said, well, is there anything really bad wrong with the television? And they said, oh, no, you know, it's good. And I said, no. I said, the only thing wrong with that TV is the picture, too. And my mom looked at me like, yeah, okay, picture tube. And I knew, you know how you get sick? I mean, just sudden sickness. And so I went immediately to my room, and I got the call. And I don't mean from a telephone. I got the shout out when those folks left without the TV, okay? So it takes more than just stomping your foot in a little tinfoil to be a TV repairman. So this lady calls TV repairman. TV repairman comes to her home, and she says, what's wrong with your television, ma'am? She said, I don't know. She said, look at the picture there. She said, that reporter there reporting the news, she said, his face is so long. And the TV repairman looked at her, and he said, ma'am, if you had to report the news, he had to report, your face would be long too. Amen. I tell you what, you listen to the news, and it is discouraging. You know, I mean, it's just every single thing that comes across, people getting blown up and shot at and violated and just bad news. I'm glad that I can pull apart from the world and get in my study or get in my quiet place or come to a place like this, fellowship with God's people and open up the Word of God. I need this. And I know you need it too. You may not, some of you realize how much you need it. Some of you may not. But I'm going to tell you, everybody needs this. Everybody needs church. Everybody needs to open up a copy of the Word of God and hear some good news. You see that word in verse number 1 when he says, I declare unto you the gospel. That's the good news. God's got some good news he wants to share with you. So, well, the Bible's just all good news. No, it's not. No, the Bible has some bad news. But I'm glad that the Bible has some good news too. See, the bad news is that when God created man, he made him in his own image and he put him in the garden and he gave him everything in there. And he said, you know what? He said, you can eat of every tree of the garden. He said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou mayest not eat thereof. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You know what happened. You know how this story ends. Adam and Eve sinned against God. That's the bad news. But can I tell you, it gets worse. They not only sinned against God, they pulled down condemnation upon all of mankind. And now every person that comes into this world condemned. He that believeth not, Jesus said in John 3:18, is condemned already. We come into this world depraved, sinful, cursed. Man will die in his sin and go to hell. You see, I don't... enjoy preaching this. I don't enjoy telling people, listen, if you don't get saved, you're going to hell. I don't enjoy that. But I'm compelled. I'm constrained. I'm motivated. I'm directed by the Spirit of God to tell men, repent or perish. God have mercy on a man that calls himself a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ and will not tell man why he needs the good news of Jesus Christ. See, the why is that man is a sinner and the wages of sin is death and separation. Man will die in his sin and go to hell forever separated from God if he doesn't do something about his sin. For years, man has been trying to do something about his sin. Man has come up with all kinds of innovations, and they've tried to to soothe their conscience, and they've tried to remove the guilt, and they've tried to do good works or cover their sin, and they've tried all manner of ways and reasons to get rid of the sin problem. But can I tell you, man does not possess the ability nor the authority to do away with sin. The only thing that can take care of sin, the songwriter said it as he took it from the scripture, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Listen to me, there's no other way except through the blood of Jesus Christ. The bad news is we're sinners. And it gets worse yet. As sinners, if we die in our sin, we will die and go to hell, eternally separated from God. But I'm glad that's not where it ends. Paul said here in chapter number 15 of 1 Corinthians, I declare unto you the gospel, the good news. So the good news is that there's a way out. The good news is there's a way you can be forgiven. The good news is there's a way that you can have your fellowship with God reinstated, and that you can reserve a place for yourself in heaven. Wouldn't you want to know why, where, and how that is? I'm glad for the day I did. I'm glad for the day someone showed me. I'm going to give you some simple truth here, so I want you to look at it. Okay, it's very simple. I want you to do something in your Bible. This morning, I'm going to talk to you about, in verse number 3, he said, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how, and you see that right there? I want you to underline that in your Bible. Underline it or circle it or highlight it. Just take a note of it, okay? That Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Now that's the first part of the gospel. Christ died for our sins. And it's highlighted by that little four-letter word, that. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. But now that's not where the gospel ends. Notice that tonight we'll talk about this aspect of the gospel. Look, if you would, in chapter number 15 and verse number 4. And that, you see that? That's our word again. And that he was buried. Did you know it's important to understand that Christ was buried? You say, what's that got to do with anything? The gospel. The gospel. This is the gospel. The gospel is not that Jesus just died, but that he was buried. Why is that important? Well, we'll talk about that tonight, and it's very important. Look, if you would, at the third that in verse number 4. And that, underline that third that. He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. So the first that is that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture. The second that is that he was buried. And the third that is that he rose again, the Bible says in verse number 3, according to the Scriptures. We'll look at that next Sunday morning, Easter morning. And then next Sunday night, the Lord willing, I want to talk about verse number 5. This is the fourth that. And that he was seen. Amen. He was seen. See, he didn't only die, he was buried. He not only resurrected, he was seen. Amen. So we're going to talk about those things. But this morning, in the few moments that I have, I want to talk to you just a little bit about his death. I'm just going to give you some simple truth about Christ dying. You see, because Jesus just didn't die. This is where we mess up. This is where the disconnect is. I want you to listen to me now, okay? There's a big disconnect out in our world today. And it's in many churches. When we speak of Christ dying, We cause a disconnect if we don't go forward to what the Scripture says here. Notice what it says. It not only says that Christ died, it goes beyond that. See, dying is something that we're all going to face. People die every day. People's been dying since the dawn of time. But the Bible just doesn't say that Jesus died. It just doesn't say that Christ died. He died differently. He died for our sins. Most people that die, die in their sin. Some people that die,
die with a transfer of their sin on someone else. And that only person that they can transfer their sin to is Christ, because He's the only one that died for our sin. So Jesus just didn't die. He died for our sins. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget it. See, it's appointed. Hebrews 9:27 says unto men once to die. Man's going to die. So you say, what's different? Jesus died, right? The thief on one side died. The thief on the other side died. Romans died. Jews died. Americans died. Germans died. Japanese died. People die. But no one ever died like Jesus. I want to go a step further and say no one ever was born like Jesus Christ. No one ever born like Jesus. No one ever lived like Jesus. And no one ever died like Jesus. And no one ever rose again like Jesus Christ. He's different. Let's talk about this. First thing I want you to notice as we look at chapter number 15 and verse number 4, when he says here in verse number 3, I'm sorry, chapter 15, verse number 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That's the first of that. Christ died. I want you to notice who it was that died. That Christ, that word is Messiah. The sent one, the anointed one. Not just any person. It's Jesus Christ. Do you know who Paul was saying died for you? You know who Paul is introducing to us that died for us? That's not just some prophet. That's not just some man who came and done good and taught good things. Like the around this time of year, we were talking in Sunday school, around this time of year, those programs will kick up. You know, they'll start. Around Easter and Christmas, your History Channel and your True TV and all that. The National Geographic, all of these channels will start, you know, about this historical Jesus. Listen, I'm concerned about biblical Jesus. Amen. That historical and all the world and Hollywood, they know nothing about this book. Hear me now. This Bible will tell you who Jesus really is. Who is Jesus? Who is this Christ? Who is this? Number one, let's look at the person. All right? What person are we talking about here? God. God. Jesus is God. The Bible says in Hebrews 1:3, He's the express image of God. Colossians 1:15, He's the image of the invisible God. Colossians 2:9, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead fully. When Jesus came, He said, the only begotten of the Father, He hath come to declare Him. Jesus is God in the flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. You believe that? You say, no, wait a minute, preacher. Let me see if I got this right. Christ died, and this Jesus is God. Yes. The only way that God could die is become a man. You understand that, right? You understand that. That's the only way that God could die, is to become a man. So God came in the person of Jesus Christ. He took upon Himself a body. That's why Jesus was virgin born. That's why the angel declared unto Mary, that is of thee, that is in thee and of thee is of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God overshadowed Mary's womb, and Jesus was born. God came into this world in human form. You say, preacher, do you believe that? I'm going to tell you what I told them now. With all of my heart. Jesus Christ born of a virgin. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He's the second person of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. You say, you believe in the Trinity? I am a Trinity. What do you mean, do I believe in the Trinity? I am one. I'm body, soul, and spirit. Why am I a Trinity? Because God made me in His image. Can I tell you that person you looked at in the mirror this morning is not who you saw? That's right. That's just a vehicle that who you really are is riding around in. But one day that vehicle is going to be laid aside. Listen to me now. You say, I talk to myself. Yeah, I know. Everybody does. Oh, preacher, I don't talk to myself. Sure you do. Everyone does. Just quit answering yourself. Amen. That's where you get concerned. And you know that, right? Our bodies are not eternal, but our soul is. Christ died. Who is this Jesus? He's God. He's God in the flesh. You know, the first time I ever thought about that was the night I got saved. October the 26th, 1980, I was just about to turn 20 years old. I was 19 in October. I was going to turn 20 in November. And there was a man, upon my request, that came to my home, and I thought I was going to join a church. Perhaps you're here today and you think, you know what, if I could just be a little religious or I could just do better, I could go to heaven. I thought that too. Okay, nobody told me that. No one told me that. I just assumed that. I thought, well, you know what, I'm tired of the way I'm living. I'm tired of this. There's got to be something more to life. God had put some Christians in the pathway of my life. He brought a little girl to my home, and I've shared that with the church. God was so gracious to me. So gracious. Far more than I deserved. I was a nothing. Not much now, but I was even less then. Are you listening to me? And I'll never forget when that man looked me in the face. He said, he read some scripture to me, and part of his reading was that God came in the person of Jesus Christ and that Jesus was born of a virgin. And he looked me in my face and he said, do you believe that? I'd never even thought about it. I said, I do. I think it stunned him a little bit, you know. I mean, he took one look at me and thought, this guy probably don't believe anything, you know. And he was right. But you know what just happened? God did for me what he's done for every person sitting on the sound of my voice if you're saved. And if you're not, he'll do it for you. God gave me the gift of faith. God gave me that. I've never gotten over it. And I don't want to ever get over it. God gave me the gift of faith. So that when a man, as a 19-year-old young man, a man looked at me and said, there is a God in heaven. He made everything. And he came down and planted himself in the person of his spirit into a virgin's womb and then was born a baby named Jesus. Do you believe that? I said, I do. Amen. I do. That's the gift of faith. God gave me the gift of faith. It's a wonderful thing. And then he went on to tell me how this little boy grew up. Went to the temple and astounded the doctors and all the religious hierarchy of his day and lived a perfect life and died a cruel death on the cross. This Jesus that died right here, this Jesus he told me about. He said, he died for you. He said, you believe that? I said, yes, I do. Never even thought about it before. 19 years old living in America. Never even thought about Jesus dying for me. See, God gave me the gift of faith. Perhaps you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, you know what, if I could just do better, if I could just get my ducks in a row, if I could just get in church on a more regular basis, if I could just buy me a couple of Bibles and put a family Bible on the coffee table or the table in the living room, if I could just do better or make more money or do more kind deeds, then my life will be straightened out. No, you need to get to Jesus. You need to realize that there's someone who loves you so much that he was willing to do what I'm reading to you this morning. This person is Jesus Christ. He's God in the flesh. And he died for you. Christ died. That's the person. Let's look at the passion. The passion is the way he died. You know, I read something a few years ago that just absolutely just boggled my mind. I'm going to give you just a short excerpt. Jesus Christ died from all five known wounds to man. All five scientific wounds known to man, Jesus Christ suffered on the day of his crucifixion. He died from contusions, blows with a rod as they beat him over the head and struck him with a scepter and said, tell us, prophesy unto us, who is it that struck thee? He not only suffered contusions, he suffered lacerations as they scourged him with a cat of nine tails over and over and over again. They whipped his back until his flesh was emaciated from his body. Not only did he die from contusions and lacerations, but penetration wounds as they thrust the crown of thorns into his brow. Not only penetrating, but perforating by the nails that they drove into his hands and his feet. And not only were there contusions and lacerations and penetrating and perforating wounds, but they were incised wounds as they thrust a spear into his side, and forthwith ran blood and water. Every known wound to man, Jesus Christ suffered when he died. I want you to notice very carefully, and you can do this in your own time. I would encourage you to do it. If you'll go home and get a concordance and study, I like to study words, because I believe words teach us things that are not on the surface. And when you look at 1 Corinthians 15:3, and it's when it says that Christ died, that word there, when you begin to study it, it comes from the word that we get our word slaughtered, like an animal. He was beaten. He was spit on. He was mocked. He was maligned. He was drugged through the city. He was nothing but a bleeding mass of emaciated flesh. They nailed what was left to him on a cross and thugged in the ground. And the Bible teaches that he gasped for 3 solid hours in the hot Palestinian sun. He gasped for his breath so that he could communicate in those final hours. So please don't you accept when you walk into some religious shop or some religious bookstore and you see a picture of a man with a full beard and a little crown with a trickle of blood. Don't you accept that as our Christ that died on the cross. He was beaten mercilessly. They spit upon him. They mocked him. They maligned him. They beat him. They treated him like an animal. And that's why when Paul's writing here, he is simply saying that Christ was slaughtered. Christ died for our sins. I just want to say this about the grace of God right here. You want to get a real picture of who Jesus really was. Just visit the cross just for a moment and see him hanging there. His body torn and ripped. He's trying to push up his body. He's trying to push up just so he can get a next breath. And there's a couple of thieves on the sides of him. And both of them, if you'll study the scripture, are just throwing and casting insults at him. And the people at the foot of the cross are throwing and casting insults at him. And they're mocking him and they're maligning him. And then something happens in the life of one of those thieves. The Spirit of God begins to work in his heart. And he begins to speak for Christ, and he begins to ask the others, wait a minute, don't do that. There's something different about this man. And if you read the entire account there in Luke 23, you'll find that eventually this man asked Jesus to forgive him and to remember him when he come into his kingdom. And Jesus didn't say, now you listen to me, before you get too judgmental on that thief and say, I tell you right now, that thief shouldn't have been allowed to be forgiven. How dare him to stand, to be nailed to that cross and before all that crowd and cast the same in Jesus' teeth and insult him and degrade him before all of man? How dare him? What about you? What about me? You know what Jesus said when that thief said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Amen. You want to get a real picture of who Jesus Christ is? Go to the cross. Go to the cross. Never once from the cross did he lunge out and lash out at those who put him there. Never once. Never once did he from the cross say, where's my disciples? I told you you would turn and run. But he looked down and he saw John and he said, John, take care of my mother. Jesus loves man, and I'm glad that he does. So much that the Bible says here that Christ died. So first of all, Christ, that speaks of the person. Died, that speaks of his passion. But now let's look at this next word. It says that Christ died for our. You know what that word our stands for? Substitution. It does. Substitution. Christ didn't die for his sin. He did no sin. See, as we begin to turn our focus toward Easter and we begin to turn our focus toward spring and new life and change of season, we ought to remember that all of that these things are just pointing toward the change that God makes in a person's life. But in order for there to be change, there needs to be something that's broken, something that's wrong. And the Bible says here that Christ died, He suffered, He bled. Christ died, He was sacrificed, He died like an animal. Why? For you. For me. You know, for years, I didn't really grasp that Jesus died for me. For me. That means if I'd have been the only person alive, Jesus would have died for me. You've got to really understand, you've got to believe that. Christ died for me. He died for me. See, I think, well, you know what? Christ died for all these bad people out there. What do you think you are? Who do we think? I mean, really? So I'm not that bad, preacher. You're a lot worse than you think you are. As a matter of fact, if you can sit there this morning and think, I'm not that bad, you're in bad shape. You're in bad shape. You know what makes Pharisees? I'm not that bad. That's what makes Pharisees. That's what makes religious hypocrites. I'm not that bad of a person. You're terrible. You say, preacher, I'm not going to come to church and have you tell me I'm terrible. Well, open your Bible and let God tell you. All of your righteousness is a filthy rags. Filthy! You know what's wrong with religion in America? You know what's wrong with our churches? We have sit in our churches and allow preachers to tell us we're good old boys and gals. God help us! Our sin nailed Jesus to the cross. And we were standing at the foot of that cross saying, drive another one, drive another one. We always think that someone else did it. I read an article in Newsweek or Time magazine, it's been several years ago, from a secular magazine. Listen to me, a secular magazine. You know what it said? What's wrong with America's churches? They had the answer. A secular magazine. It was either Newsweek or Time magazine. You know what it said? It said, we've made light of sin. Sin's no longer heinous and wicked and dirty and vile and filthy. We've lightened up and we've made sin okay. Can I tell you something this morning? You know I love you. You know God loves you, but God hates sin. He hates it. It was sin that nailed His Son to the cross. Your sin and my sin and the sin of the whole world. God, help us not to forget that. God, help us not to treat sin so lightly and treat it so cavalier, like there's nothing wrong. Listen, there's plenty wrong with sin. It ruins lives. Sin ruins lives. Where were you when God found you? I'll tell you where I was. In the bondage of my sin. If you got saved, that's where God found you. If He found you anywhere else, you're in a heap of trouble. Christ died for our substitute. He died in your place. That should have been me on that cross. That should have been you. Do you believe that, brethren? You see, we look around and we say, oh my, it's them. I read about a man just this past week. He went into the psychiatrist's office and he had two strips of bacon hanging on his ear and an egg on his head. And he went in and he said, I got to talk to you about my wife. You know, how crazy is that? That's the way most people view their life. They think, you know, it's this person, it's that person, it's these. If my old wife would just get right, if my husband, if that old lug would just get right, if my children, if my parents, if my siblings, if my church, it's always everybody else. I'm going to tell you what the problem is. You. Me. We're the problem. We won't confront our sin. Isn't it amazing how everyone else's sin is just so heinous and wicked and dirty? But ours, right? Christ died for our sins. There's a verse of scripture. Right after I got saved, I started listening to a black preacher, E.V. Hill. Remember E.V. Hill, Dr. Thompson? E.V. Hill. He's with the Lord now. He's an old timer, old black preacher. Man, he would preach. He would preach. I used to love listening to him preach. And he would always say, I tell you, your problem, he's talking about the congregation that day, he said, your problem is you think the word all is y'all. Did you get that? And he'd say that. He'd say it a lot. Your problem is you think the word all is y'all. And when the Bible says all have sinned, you quoting it, y'all have sinned. And so instead of saying all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, you're saying y'all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he hit the nail right on the head. We're so quick to point out other people's sin and talk about them and what they could do different. And boy, if this would just change and that would just change. Our problem is us. Christ died. But he just didn't die. It wasn't just a person or a passion. There was a purpose. And that's my third and final point. The purpose. Why did Christ die? Well, people hated him, preacher. That's not why Christ died. That's not why Jesus died. Well, they hated him, you know. Yes, they did. But that's not why he died. The Bible says right here why he died. For our sin. That's why Christ died. That's the purpose of his death. He died for our sins. So the next time that you're sinning, you need to remember that sin. You just need to remember that sin helped secure Jesus to the cross. We take our sin so lightly. God help us not to do that. God help us to confess it. Ask God for mercy and strength that we won't be repeated offenders. Amen. You know, that word repeat offender has become kind of big in our judicial system today. They tell me that there are DAs, district attorneys, and there are judges that, well, they get tired of people that keep doing the same thing over and over and over and keep coming up before the judges and they keep getting let off. And it's causing many of them to want to just get out completely. Just get out. Because they have a hard time dealing with it. I'm glad God's not that way. Anybody in here ever committed to sin twice? By the looks of some of you, I might have a problem convincing you committed one once. Amen. We've all sinned, brethren. I want you to stand. Christ died for our sins. So when it was my time to pay for my sin, I'm glad Jesus said, I'll go. I'll pay for his sin. Your time to pay, Jesus said, I'll pay. But now you've got to receive it. How do you view sin? I'm going to ask the pianist to come. How do you view sin? Preacher, you know, there's big sin and there's little sin. Sin is sin. Now I understand sin has a different impact on people, all right? But sin nailed Jesus to the cross, all right? The person, Christ, the passion died. The purpose for our sin. That's why he died. I love children. Those of you who are members of the church and have been attending here long, you know that. I love children. That's why we have a lot of children in our church. You say, well, it looks like a lot here. Oh, there's two times this many upstairs. We have children all throughout the building. Why? Because we love them here. We love children. We love them. We believe that children hold the key. We believe that. And we love them. And we are investing in their lives. And we care about them. We believe that their life matters. Not when they get 16 or 18 or 21. Their life matters now. Right now, it matters. From the nursery right on up, their lives matter. Children are very interesting. I learn things from children. I do. You ever heard the story about the little boy? You know, when I was a boy, I hated to take baths. Am I the only little boy that hated to take baths? How about it, man? Any other little boys in here hate to take baths? Anybody in here got a little boy that hates to take a bath? Any mamas in here have to check up on him, make sure he washed behind his neck and elbows, right? You know how a lot of Baptists treat sin? Like this little boy I read about. He's out playing. I mean, he was filthy dirty. You remember those days, right? They don't get dirty anymore. They sit around and do them. Anyway, so he's out, and he got filthy dirty like you should get. Amen. Outside rolling and playing. And he comes in, and his mama said, "Boy, get in there and run you some water." They used to call it draw. "Get in there and draw you some water and take a bath." He said, "Ah, mama, can't you just dust me off?" And that's the way a lot of people approach sin. It really is. We need a bath, and we just kind of want dusting off. God help us to get a real vision of what our sin is and what Christ has done to pay the penalty for that sin. Would you bow your head just for a moment? I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play, and I want to talk to you from my heart. If you're here today under the sound of my voice, the question is not if you are a sinner. You are a sinner. Not because I said so, but because God said so. God said there's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone into his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All of our righteousness is of filthy rags. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're sinners. Now, I'm not going to try to convince you of that. You're a sinner. But what I am going to try to convince you is of this. You need to do something about that. And in your own strength and in your own way, there's nothing you can do. Could I impress upon your heart this morning to allow God to do something about that? He's really the only one that can. Christ died for our sins. Jesus died for you. Yes, he was buried and he rose again. And as I said, we'll look at that in the services to come. But this morning, I want you to fix on the fact that Christ died for your sins. He died for our sins. Is there someone here this morning that would say, "Preacher, I am a Christian. I do know Jesus as my personal Savior. And I want God to help me to understand that it was my sin that Christ died for. God bless you, ma'am. And I want to live, God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. I want to live in such a way that would show God that I'm sorry and that would show God I love him. And I just want to be an example. I want to live my life for Jesus. I want to live in a way that would honor him. Anyone else? God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I want to honor the Lord with my life. Anyone else? I'm saved, preacher. I know Jesus is my Savior. I just want to honor him with my life. God bless you. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Amen. God bless you, ma'am. I pray the Holy Spirit of God would help each one of us, whether you raised your hand this morning or not, God would help us to live our lives in such a way it would honor him. It would honor the Lord. If people could see in our lives as Christians that we have an abhorrence for sin because of what it did to our Savior.